throw something out there, man. You know, kind of tired, right? And a little bit ago, I was like, man, I really want to get like a 30-minute nap. But for real, like, you know how we get lit, right? We get excited about this thing. So I want to try to get Jonathan lit up a little bit, man, because here we are at midnight, and we're freaking tired, and he come from New York, and he's like an hour ahead. So I know he got to be beat, like, oh, shit, you know what I mean? But the reality, man, who's having a great time this weekend? Tell you something, man. It's been a great convention, man. We had a lot of good speakers, man. The fellowship, all that stuff, man. You know what I mean? So what I'm gonna do, man, is I'm gonna light it up and turn this over to Jonathan, man, and give him a great big welcome, man. Turn it over to him.
Thank you. My name is Jonathan. I'm a grateful and thankful recovering addict from the disease of addiction. I want to thank God for the gift of desperation. I want to thank Narcotics Anonymous for saving my life and for another day clean. I want to thank the Houston Convention Committee for asking me to speak on the last minute on this topic, which I have no kind of preparation. I did the best that I could with the little time that I got. You know, talked this morning with my peers, and you know, I got so much from them that I was too overwhelmed that I didn't know what to do, you know? Someone said, Ron said this morning, why don't you close your eyes? You know, he gave me a mental gymnastic exercise. He said something about close your eyes and think about when you first got here. That's your gift. It's like, wow. I mean, my sponsor said, yo, you have so much information also from the Living Clean. So I'm gonna try to sum it up because there's so much information and I'm gonna try to correlate it to the best of my ability. And could everybody hear me?
Yes.
Great, great, great. So where do I start, right? I heard someone say a long time ago, right, that desperation is a gift. It took me a while to understand that the desperation of pain and degrading myself as a human being brought me to ask for help. And that was because my mother was coming from Puerto Rico, and I didn't want her to see how much of a low life. Could I curse?
Yeah.
Okay, gotta ask. Okay. Turned to a piece of shit maggot, and I didn't want her to see what I had turned myself into. So at that particular time, I wasn't aware that my mother was that second step, that power greater than myself. So the brilliant addict that I am, I actually went into a methadone clinic. That day I was gonna be discharged, but of course I pleaded out with the counselor that if you just allow me to get clean, little did he know that I just was going there just to get to be put on rehab and get the certificate, because apparently I had some legal issues that I needed to resolve, and I didn't want my mother to be aware of all of that. So I was in rehab, and the news comes on, and apparently they're looking for this guy that was going behind the counter on Duane Reade's and taking cartons of cigarettes. So the girl that was sitting next to me says, that looks like you. I says, I'm here in rehab. That guy's still out there. So, you know, I got out, you know. But before getting out, let me tell you how I received the gift from HNI that came, and they said something that I couldn't comprehend, that he was clean for X amount of years from methadone. And I was like, how is that even possible? Heck, he even had a wife. I said, why, you got a wife? I mean, where I come from, you know, it's either a hood rat, you know, a trick, whatever it was, you know? So he said, I'll take you to a meeting, you know, let's do something different, because every time I got out of rehab, I took my EBT card, and I went to Flacco, cashed the food stamps, you know, and I did what I had to do. So I went to a meeting, things shifted, and something clicked. You know, you guys gave me a warm welcoming, you know? We talk about that, a hug is the first human interaction when we walk through them doors. And wow, did you guys make me feel at home. Even though I was not still buying it, you know, I was very apprehensive and cautious. I went through the bathroom to make sure that there was nothing going on. I was like, how are these people so happy? What's going on? You know, and they gave me a list with a whole bunch of numbers and how could I get to the meetings. So I said, fine, you know what? I could do this. I had to go to a report to a three-quarter house, and I got to see my mother, and I thought that I had it all figured out. So I proceeded to go to court. When I got to court, you know, I sit next to my lawyer and I says, I'm here. He says, oh, thank you for coming, Mr. Cintron. You know, oh, by the way, I got the certificate of conduct of, you know, I'm not conduct, I'm sorry, completion of rehab. She says, great, Mr. Cintron, you know, so we could vacate that warrant. So he says, just don't say anything. I said, what do you mean don't say anything? I said, you do all the talking. So anyway, so they call me up front, they call my docket number, and as they calling my docket number, my lawyer says, Your Honor, there are some detectives outside that are looking for Mr. Cintron. Apparently, he is wanted in connection with grand larceny charges. I'm like, how is that even possible? He said, and they arrested me. I says, I got the message. I'm here. I completed the rehab. So they proceeded to take me to the 62nd precinct. Not beforehand, she says, they are not to question him without my presence. You know, I think I had a few days clean when that happened, off methadone, you know, but you guys, I was already brainwashed and bought into the whole program. They took me down to the 62nd precinct, and, you know, I wasn't aware about this disease, you know, and it started saying, as I'm sitting in the cell, you know, in the why me pen, you know, let's go to the hospital, because we know what to do. So they took me to the hospital as a walkthrough, you know, because I have seizures, you know, have medical conditions. And when I got there, you know, the doctor says, so how can I help you? What's your problem? I'm having an anxiety attack. I can't breathe. You need to call my doctor. I need Xanax. But then I'm thinking, wow, my mother's here. And these people talking about a new way to live. He comes back and I says, you know what? I'm good. I don't want the medication. The detectives were really upset because I wasted their time for nothing. When they put me in the car, talk about a gift. Mr. Cintron, your case has been DP, dismissed. Because they questioned me without the presence of the attorney. I says, wow! I says, it's working! This is what these people are talking about. So I was shocked. So I get back in front of the judge and the lawyer that represented me throughout the course of a year, I gave that woman hell and bad. She treated me like a human being while I actually was high on Xanax. I wasn't coherent in the hearings when I had to report. But as a result of this program, you know, I was released and they granted me recovery. That says, how could we deny Mr. Cintron recovery? The DA said that. DA never says that. DA says, let's lock him up, remand him. They let me go. I was like, whoa, you know. I ran to the meetings, you know, I was talking to my intro sponsor about the whole thing, and I just kept following up with court. And little did I know that as a result of making the meetings and staying connected to Narcotics Anonymous, my charges were dismissed. At the end of the year, the ADA from Brooklyn, ADA Hughes, came down and shook my hand and said, Mr. Cintron, it's about fucking time. Decades of using. And he says, I don't want to see you anymore. Congratulations, you know. You people have shown me to be able to build a relationship with other people. You know, have relationship with doctors, my lawyers, my sponsors, with my network, my support group. And I have a report with this lawyer, and there was a point in my life that I was feeling empty because I wasn't doing step work, I guess, in the first 4 months, 6 months when that occurred. And she said something that really, really was the catalyst for me to embark on top of the pain that I was feeling, you know, without the drugs. She says, Mr. Cintron, whenever a colleague of mine is having a hard time and they think that why they do what they do in treatment to help addicts, you know, get out of jail and find a way, different way, I tell them your story. You're a success. That's the hope, you know. Wow. So, needless to say, you know, as a result, because, you know, when I started embarking on the steps, as a result of that, I received the gift of recovery, you know. Talk about the gift of desperation first, and now the gift of recovery, you know, getting connected to God, you know, admitting that I had a problem with drugs, asking for help, and transitioning to what I know as God, you know, and that has allowed me to build some courage and get honest with another human being on a weekly basis, my sponsor, of course. And it hasn't been easy for me, but I do it to the best of my ability, you know? So, I wanted to talk about carrying the message, right? Brings us awareness of our gifts and limitations and guide us to change, right? So when I talk about change, right? You know, now I'm in the process, you know, and I'm getting the information, right? And we're talking about on the second step that, you know, the food, money, power, you know, it's never enough, especially for me. So, you know, I start putting on some weight, you know, I pick up the spoon. 2 years later, the doctor, you know, God has a funny way to intervene in my life, you know. And he used this doctor, and doctor says, Mr. Cintron, you know, your AC1 is high, you know, you're susceptible to become diabetical. Say, oh, okay, that's not a problem. We could do sweet and low. Mr. Cintron, you're not hearing me. God said that your cholesterol level is also high. You're susceptible to get a heart attack. So now I'm faced with a dilemma, right? We're talking about a third step dilemma. What the fuck am I gonna do when I turn my will over to God? And let go of the donuts, the 4 tablespoons of sugar, and six cups a day, and the rice. I like my rice with habichuela and pollo, you know? like I had to make a serious decision. You know how we say, yo, we turn to other members and pick up information, what it was like for you when you made the decision? Because I don't know how to live without these foods. And, you know, they said that the grass was greener, but today somebody said in the car, what is it that the grass is always greener wherever it's watered? I was like, wow! You know? So now I'm like, okay, so what do I have to do, right? So I had to cut all that stuff out, and in less than, I would say, 57 days, my A1C was back to normal. I was no longer pre-diabetic. My cholesterol, the 4 levels of cholesterol, 3 of them went down. I'm working on one. I'm taking a medication, prescribed, and as directed. And I lost 30 pounds. And I wasn't in it for that. I was just in it just to actually get healthy, you know? And that is a gift, you know? Following through, you know, with the doctor's orders, you know, because I thought that I was a doctor and I could actually self-prescribe myself, you know, medication, you know, and diagnose myself with many of the symptoms that I didn't, you know, never had. So, I was talking to somebody in the room, one of the guys in my support, and, you know, we talked about, like, you know, like, well, gifts, I mean, what good 5 good qualities that you have that, you know, that you could just automatically say, and it took me a while. Like, I could tell you all the bad shit that I know about myself and how I fall short, but when it comes to talking about my good qualities, I have a hard time. So I took a paper and we wrote them down, you know. So learning to survive my emotions without the use of drugs. That's a gift, you know, because, you know, I have gained the ability. And ability just doesn't mean that I know how to do shit. It just means that I actually take action, you know, by calling another human being and telling them, yo, how did you survive that? You know, earlier today, Frank was saying that, you know, because I was the one that told him, yo, the disease can't hit a moving object. And he says, boy, if standing still is the solution, then what the fuck you running from? You know, and I realized, like, wow, that is so true. The disease is a marksman, you know, and that gave me something to come to realize that everything that I know, even in recovery, is always subjected for review. Learning how to love myself, bathe myself, clothe myself, you know. Taking showers was a big key coming into recovery, and I love taking showers. Wearing clean clothes, you know. I love that, I really do, you know, keeping up with myself and not to dress up the disease, you know, because sometimes I could get a little too carried away in the bathroom, you know, how the hair looks, you know. You know, I'm not trying to dress the disease, I'm just trying to look good for myself because I enjoy it. And developing a relationship with God, above all, you know. My ability to love every single person in this room is directly in proportion by the connection that I have with the God of my understanding. So, I got a good one. The ability to listen is a gift and grows as we go spiritually. That's in the basic text, you know? Like, I've never listened to anybody, you know? When I got here, you know, people started giving me directions and I'm like, okay. All right, you know what? If I fuck this shit up and I mess up, it's your fault. And every time that I fuck up, I could always claim the victim role. And I could blame you for my mishaps, you know? Kitchen tested proof. You know what? I'm still here with 3 years and 22 days clean. I want to talk about service, right? In the Living Clean book, right, talks about when we do the work of helping other people, we get some changes inside of us. We discover the magic when we see the light come and the light come on in someone's eyes. So, my current home group was a clean machine. You know, apparently nobody wanted to give up no commitments. I mean, I didn't want to, let me be honest, I didn't want to give up the commitment that I had, you know, and I come to my sponsor, yo, nobody want to do service, you know, and I'm always colliding with this predecessor, you know, because I think I know more, and I want to defy her, you know, but I'm not really seeing the gift that she's trying to teach me something, you know, of service, you know, even though she has her commitment for about 7 years, and her personality, it's influencing the group, and yeah, I'm judging, you know, because we want to allow the newcomer to participate in their recovery, you know? We don't own nothing in here, you know? So my sponsor said, and he suggested that I encourage and empower newcomers, you know, that the group will operate at its full capacity. All I have to do is just step back. That was hard. I don't know about you, but I like to control stuff, you know? Especially in atmosphere of recovery. I want to hold the bell down, you know? 5 minutes are up. Come on, our common welfare comes first. So I say that to say because there's a lot of newcomers and we had to nominate them and empower them, you know? To come every week that, you know, that their voice matters at a business meeting, you know. We want you to go and pay the rent. We trust you. We trust you. Eventually, people started stepping up when I decided to step down. I was like, wow, what's happening here? I couldn't put my hand, I couldn't grasp what was going on. But what I could tell you is that the gift that I was able to see with these newcomers, that one had about 45 days, another one had about 67 days, and we waived the clean time so they could actually do service in the group, And believe it or not, the group is actually operating at its full capacity, and I am no longer a member of that group, a trusted servant. I am a member. Let me clarify on that. Needless to say, I checked in with them today because I was actually reading that, and I just wanted to find out on how they're doing and how is their service commitments and if there's anything that I could do, because we just don't throw people into service, you know? We have the information and the tools, right? The group, the booklet tells me the speakers that I need to get to make sure that I don't bring other people from other freaking fucking fellowships. I mean, we love them too, you know? And we address all types of addictions under one roof. So we want to make sure that we're clear about that alcohol too is a drug. You know, I say that very clearly because some people say that they're alcoholics and addicts. We love them too, but we have to pull them to the side after the meeting. Knowing my self-righteousness, that, you can't say that in here, you know. So we have to be, I had to learn how to be kind to another human being and talk to them on the side about that stuff. So I had to actually convey that to these newcomers that are doing service. And I got to see the gift of people growing in recovery. That's amazing. That's huge, you know? I've never been able to see something like that, you know? Unless I, you know, the only thing that came to mind, reference point, and I gotta stop that, is what do I have to gain from this shit, you know? But this is about selfless service, you know? And it's just a blessing, you know, just to be able to see that, you know? And I'm grateful for that experience, you know? I learned so much in service and through the spiritual principle of open-mindedness. You know, I filled my resume, went to an area, Kings Bay area, and they have a lack of people, that lack of trusted servants that don't want to do service. I want to serve in that area. So when I went to their area service meeting, I'm the GSR for Conscious Contact, and we meet every Thursday at 8 o'clock at 1933 Bath Avenue, and the group nominated me to be the policy chair, and. Apparently, it got second by somebody that wasn't a GSR. So the motion died, and, you know, the little kid inside my head, because I try to think in pictures, were like this, throwing a temper tantrum. Don't they fucking know? You know, I know what's best for that area, you know? I'm like, wow, I could already see that my motives, I'm not in the right place, and why I want to do service in that area. And I got to tell you, you know, because, you know, I don't want to tell you half of the truth, right? So my girlfriend is the vice chair of that area. So a lot of people are not found with me wanting to do service there because they think that we're going to gang up on the rest of the other two members. So maybe this is God. I know this is God telling me, Jonathan, this might not be a good place for you to do service, you know? And I made another call. You know, this is a program of inclusion, not exclusion. And unfortunately, there are people that are here, and I hate to say it, that are not encouraging and loving as others, you know. And I said to this member what happened, you know, and he says to me that the person that seconded the motion for me to be the policy chair wasn't a GSR. He says, maybe you should go to that other area. And this is somebody of color, Caucasian. And I says, what do you mean? You know, where the blacks are, you know, Brooklyn area. Says, what the fuck? You know? I says, okay. You know, I had to stand still for a second, you know, because what I wanted to say was not practical. I kept my mouth shut. I kept my mouth shut and had tolerance with his ass, and because he kept saying, well, why don't you just go over there and get involved with their policy, you know, and do a little bit of you know, asking questions. First of all, I did my research. I called A, and he said this, this, and that. I called the current policy chair, and I think that I'm very well informed, you know. That's why we go to groups and we pick up information, you know. But thank you anyway. Click, you know. And the ability to be able to communicate something without being vulgar is a gift for me, you know? Heck, I would have probably met him at a meeting and hit him over with a hat, with a chair. But that's not what I'm here for, because they always have room for one more book and center. Yeah, you know, so. The poor me cage, exactly. So you know what? Monitoring this disease sometimes could be exhausting for me. I gotta tell you guys, you know? But the gift is that I have awareness and I have choices. And I am so grateful for that, because I didn't have no choices when Judge Calabresi reminded me. I don't know if I said anything, but I hope that I was able to reach somebody, you know, because earlier before I was like, oh my God, everybody is just like phenomenal with the way they convey a message. And the minute I start comparing, I start feeling less than or better than. And I don't want to do that, you know. I'm just here to carry a message to reach whoever I can, wherever they are. So my name is Jonathan. Thank you for allowing me to share.
All right.
All right, let's give Jonathan another round of applause, please.
Thank you.
So we got 25 minutes, and he was the only speaker that was chosen for tonight. So I guess we're going to close, right? All right. Thank you for allowing me to be of service as your chairperson for this workshop. Will you please join me in a circle and close this meeting with the third step prayer?
Oh, yeah, dude, what's up?
You better believe
it. I was like, what's up?